We have now crossed the midway point in our Sunday sermon series to prepare for the presidential election. Today we explore the environment, that is the world we live in, or as Pope Francis likes to call it, our common home. We have already addressed four topics thus far: abortion and pro-life, racism, marriage and the LGBTQ community, and immigration. If you missed the previous homilies, you can either read the text or listen to the audio on the IC Church website. They are under the slightly misleading title, Father John's Voting Guide. Of course, I do not tell you whom to vote for, but only to help you think more seriously about these subjects from a spiritual perspective. Recently, I've been reading a book called The Catholic Introduction to the Bible, the Old Testament, written by John Bergsma and Brant Petrie. That's a long title, and so I prefer the acronym SITBOT. In explaining the creation story of Genesis chapter 1, Bergsma and Petrie suggest that Genesis' primary purpose is not to answer scientific questions like how old is the earth, or are evolution and creation compatible, and so forth. Rather, the ancient author deliberately describes the cosmos as a macro temple. What does that mean? Well, imagine the church building you are sitting in as right now as if it were the size of the whole universe and included the cosmos. Or put the other way around, imagine that the church you are sitting in as a microcosmos, a microcosm, as if the whole universe could fit inside this church. The SITBOT insists. It becomes apparent that the sacred author has composed an elegantly balanced temple building account that points to the liturgical orientation of creation. In other words, Genesis envisions the creation of the world as the construction of a massive macro temple, as God's house. Remember when Jesus ran the money changers out of the Jerusalem temple with a whip and said, "You shall not make my Father's house a house of trade." Jesus knows that the whole cosmos is God's house, but so is the temple. The two terms are virtually interchangeable. The cosmos is a macro temple. The temple is a microcosmos. Genesis' description of the universe as a macro temple carries a crucial consequence for human beings, for me and you. Namely, people are created as the priests of the temple. Bergsma and Petrie assert Genesis is also depicting Adam as a priestly figure, commissioned to serve in Eden, the primordial garden sanctuary. Did you catch that? Adam and Eve are priestly figures. So if the cosmos is a temple, and priests, people are the priests, then what do you think our job is as priestly figures? Our job is to care for the temple and ultimately to worship God in the temple. The SITBOT concludes the creation story saying, all things culminate on the seventh day, the Sabbath, the day of divine rest, the fundamental day of worship in Israel's later liturgical calendar. In other words, the main message of Genesis is threefold. The cosmos is a church. People are the priests. Our work is to worship. What does all this have to do with the environment? Well, I am convinced that the best way to understand how human beings interact with the environment is as priests taking care of a temple. No one would dispute that my job as a pastor of IC and Our Lady of the Ozarks is to ensure the beauty of this magnificent church. It is also my task to turn it over to the next pastor in better shape than I found it. That is why the U.S. bishops, in their document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, wrote, "Protecting the land, water, and air we share is a religious duty of stewardship that reflects our responsibility to born and unborn children." Notice how they describe the environment as a religious duty, caring for it. Why do we care for the environment? Because according to Genesis, God created human beings as priestly figures who have a religious duty to care for the temple, the cosmos, God constructed in Genesis. The creation story of Genesis radically reframes the conversation about caring for the environment. For example, the reason we care deeply about the forest fires and the real root of its causes in California, Oregon, and Washington is because we are priests of this macro temple of the world. The reason we worry about the ocean levels and flooding that's rising and threaten people who live along the shorelines, especially the poor, is because we are priests protecting this earthly sanctuary. The reason we reduce greenhouse gases, conserve and renew energy, and recycle and reuse as much as possible is because we are pastors keeping this cosmic temple clean for ourselves and the pastors who will come after us. To blithely blow off the world around us, to fail to care for the environment, would be like me saying that I do not care if the church roof is leaking, if the plaster walls are cracking and peeling, if the carpet is stained and molding, if the heat and the air are not working. What would happen if I adopted that attitude toward the church? The bishop would send me on a long sabbatical until I learned I was being derelict in my religious duty to care for this temple. Likewise, caring for the environment is not merely an economic question, so we can exploit the earth to make more money, or just a political hot-button issue to win votes, or simply a liberal or conservative label so we can see who's on our side. It goes back to the creation of the world and our God-given role as priestly figures with a religious duty that cannot be shirked. You know, I'm so proud of my niece, Sophia, who is studying at the University of Georgia. Don't hold that against her. Her major is environmental economics and management. I had no idea what that means, so she explained it to me. She said, "Living in Arkansas, we are surrounded by so much natural beauty. But I have traveled to places that lack that same beauty. I really want to help preserve the beauty of our natural world for generations to come." When you hear my niece's comments with the creation story of Genesis in the background, she sounds a lot like she's fulfilling her religious duty to care for creation. From the perspective of the book of Genesis, Sophia makes a better priestly figure than I do. Once again, I hope that this homily falls far short in telling you who to vote for. But I hope it did not fall too far short in helping you to appreciate that this world is a macro temple in which we are placed as priestly figures, given the charge of its care. Perhaps no one in the history of the world grasped that primordial purpose described by Genesis better than St. Francis of Assisi. Pope Francis, who took St. Francis as his papal patron, wrote about a curious custom that St. Francis had, explaining, "Francis asked that part of the friary garden always be left untouched so that wildflowers and herbs could grow there, and those who saw them could raise their minds to God, the creator of such beauty. Maybe seeing the wildflowers and the herbs touched only by the hand of God made Francis feel a little more like ancient Adam in the Garden of Eden, that original priestly figure, faithfully fulfilling his religious duty to care for the environment." Praised be Jesus Christ.